Welcome to another episode of the Sports Bar Podcast. He's Scott Manzi. I'm Alex Turco. A beautiful Sunday afternoon as we shifted things up. Scott being very flexible with my schedule as I have a flag football game tomorrow, Monday evening. I have to...
Anything for you, man.
I got to continue the personal path towards the NFL somehow. And I technically still
have, keeping the dream alive. I like it.
I still have college eligibility, so kind of, you know, feeling that out, testing the water, seeing how I can do on the flag gridiron before I transfer over to pads and bring my 165-pound self out to the gridiron.
Well, it's about shiftiness.
That's right. Thank you. And I'd like to think I have some of that. But, Scott, unfortunately, today I don't get to open with something fun. You know I like doing that. It's a fun way for me to start it, and then we can truly just, you know, shoot the shit with each other before we dive into sports. But today, unfortunately, you pull up in my driveway. I'm out front, and you're sitting there on your phone for like 5 minutes. You didn't even say hello. I'm like, Scott, what are you doing? You're like, dude, I have to confirm if this report is true, but apparently a plane went down, a helicopter went down in California, and they believe Kobe Bryant was on it. And I was just immediately like, what? Kobe Bryant? Like the guy whose record was just passed by LeBron last night? Kobe Bryant? The guy we grew up with and watched and has a mentality named after him? The Mamba mentality? I mean, the guy was an absolute killer on the court, philanthropist in other ways. And aside from all that, just an all-around good guy from what it seems. You know, what you see is what you get with him. And I'm talking about some of the donations he's made in the past. Of course, he had his little run-in way back when in Colorado. And, you know, I'd be remiss not to bring that up, but I'm not going to dive into that today. What do you remember most about Kobe? And it just happened about 30 minutes ago, so kind of break down how you feel. I know it's kind of raw right now, but golly, Kobe Bryant at age 41 confirmed to have passed away in a helicopter wreck.
Yeah, I mean, I pulled up to your house. I'd actually seen, I was leaving my apartment and had seen it, the kind of the report initially break, but TMZ was the only one that had it. So that's why I was standing there and looking. I was like, man, I need a second source. I need a second source because it's just, this is too serious and too important for me to start blabbing everybody else about.
Especially
how,
TMZ, who's
right. Which can embellish things at time, but give them credit. They had it first, and then once I saw Woj had it, I felt like I trusted him as a secondary source there, certainly, and then kind of went from there. And of course, as we're recording this, there's all sorts of rumors. They have not made any public announcements as to who the other ones on the we've heard all sorts of names, so we won't speculate on the rest of the passengers, all five passing away in the helicopter crash.
I do fear, and again, you said this could be, nothing is confirmed, so we're not going to sit here and tell you this or that. As sad it is that Kobe Bryant has passed away at the young age of 41, the rumor out there right now is that it does sound like one of his daughters was there as the helicopter was traveling to her basketball practice, which I know from another podcast I listened to, The Corp, hosted by Alex Rodriguez and Big Cat of Barstool Sports. Kobe Bryant was on there just this past summer, and it was a phenomenal interview because he is such a driven guy as it is. So as you can imagine, retirement for him does not mean he's relaxing.
No.
Retirement for him was, I'm going to be an entrepreneur. I'm going to invest. And he was doing that in all different levels, all different businesses. And it was very interesting to hear him talk on a business side of things. But he did mention in that, and it rings true now that I hear it, he would go daily on his helicopter so he could have his whole morning at home in California, and then he would go to his daughter's helicopter practice. I pray she wasn't on there, but it all kind of adds up after hearing that.
Yeah, you know, as far as Kobe and what he what stands out, I mean, player wise, maybe the moment that I remember the most, but probably two. I mean, there was the NBA Finals in which he went, you know, 6 of 24 or whatever in Game 7, and they beat the Celtics, and I remember, you know, there being kind of an uproar about how he ended up as Finals MVP, and it's like he didn't even play that well in the final game. But of course, he's a big reason as why they were even there in the first place. But then the 81 point game stands out in the fact that I remember waking up, and I was in high school, And my routine in the morning was I'd eat my bowl of cereal and read the sports section before I left to drive to school. And I don't remember if I was old enough to drive myself or if I was riding with somebody at that point, but I remember seeing in the paper that Kobe had dropped, or I think I actually had the radio on in my room because I would listen to ESPN radio in the morning too when I was getting dressed.
Yeah, you were a big Mike and Mike guy.
And I believe I heard the report there initially and then read about it in the paper that day and was like, wow, you know, 81 points. And at that point, I was not a Kobe fan. Like, I didn't like the Lakers. I was still mad at him for stealing Shaq from the Magic. Yep. And so, like, I rooted against Kobe and the Lakers. Him dropping 81 I thought was selfish. That period of time in which, like, the teams that he played on were not good except for him. I just didn't like anything about it, and I actually sort of started to come around a little bit on him post his playing career because, as you said, he was involved in so many different things. He was a public face, and he did have his, you know, he had his moment, his bad moment in Colorado, and like nothing is going to take that away. But what he kind of recommitted on after the fact, I think, in allowing, you know, recommitting to his wife, committing to his kids, and being a family man, in which you've seen people have bad moments and they never rebound from them. So, I mean, I believe that people are humans, and if you're going to get a second chance, you better take advantage of a second chance. And Kobe was probably a pretty good example of that actually coming to fruition.
Yeah, he seemed that way. And there's a lot of memories I've had as Kobe, and most of them were when he wore number 8. I mean, he was a guy that we grew up with, specifically being born, you know, we're 90s kids. All we knew was Kobe Bryant in the NBA.
With the fro.
Yeah.
Playing fresh out of high school.
Yeah. No one took it to the rack like Kobe, you know, minus maybe Vince Carter at that time period. But I'll always remember, among many memories, whether it was him in the finals against anyone, specifically the Orlando Magic, when we finally made it as two Magic fans here.
Yep.
I remember his send-off game, because his send-off season was a damn...
Oh, Jeter or, you know, like those guys that did get the whole charade.
It was a charade. It was a lot of that, but it all ended so right and so storybook for a guy that was so talented and arguably, you know, second best player in NBA history.
Yeah, probably a top five guy.
Yeah, I think consensus top five, and certainly... when you get down to the nitty gritty and start breaking down, you know, 1 through 4, what a lot of people go across generational or decade type players. But regardless, Kobe Bryant's last game, I was on a work trip in the hotel, and I had to stay in the hotel room with my boss. This is at my past job, and you know that's a little awkward in general. We had a great relationship, but still, I mean, like,
right.
Yeah, I mean, dude, I sleep with my shirt off usually. I'm like, I'm probably going to leave it on tonight. Yeah. You know, it's just weird. But
something I've gotten used to in traveling and rooming with people for years.
Well, it was a huge age difference between 23-year-old me and my in-his-40s-year-old boss. So long story short, I'm in there. My boss is over in the other bed snoring, and I'm watching Kobe Bryant's final game on mute. And I watched the whole game because, as you can imagine, I'm a little uncomfortable, A, and B, he's snoring, so it's not like I'm getting any good sleep. And it was a historic moment that I wanted to see the send-off. And as much of a charade that it was all season with his little pregame, whether it was a home game or away game, and he's waving to the crowd, high-fiving, and celebrities are there to say send him off and say goodbye as it's his last time in their stadium, he ended with 60 points or 61 or something like that. It was unbelievable. And Kobe didn't have a good last season. And that last game
he looked
old.
He was coming back from the Achilles. Yep. It wasn't the same as what we were used to. But it reminds me of like Jeter when he hits the walk-off single in his final game. And it's like, you know, some guys that are legends, you just want to – it's storybook and it feels right. And and that was a –
you want them to ride off into the sunset.
Right, exactly.
No matter how you felt about
John
Kobe.
Elway, you know, there's a handful of good examples out there. But, you know, it's obviously a tragedy. It's a shame. All five lives lost on that helicopter. I mean, you just hate to see it at any point, but it's...
Good point. Not just Kobe passed away on that helicopter.
Right. But it's when it's someone who is well-known enough to where the entire country is... affected by it. Like I know I felt like you were hit a little bit because I got to see your reaction and I was surprised.
Yeah, broke the news to me.
I was surprised at how my gut felt.
Yeah.
It went when I was sort of processing it too, because like I said, like I wasn't a Kobe fan or anything. It's not like I grew up a Cal Ripken Jr. fan or you know, where when he dies eventually, like that one will probably hit me pretty darn hard. But
yeah,
it's the timing, it's the notoriety, it's the way it happened. It's just a tough sequence.
I've been known to be a little black and white with things and just understand it. And what I said to you when you told me that, it's like, I think it hurts so much because LeBron just passed him.
Yeah, it was just less than 24
night.
Hours ago.
I was just thinking about him because I just read his name because of that.
Yeah,
that record being broken. But I immediately thought about someone that means a lot to me that I've never met, Bobby Bowden.
Yep,
I've read his books. I followed him as a child. My dad idolizes him. I idolize him. He's by all accounts does things the right way. Everyone loves Bobby Bowden. If I got a notification tomorrow that Bobby Bowden had passed away, I would be in the time of, you know, I'd be reflecting and sad,
right.
But at
right.
the same time, I understand.
But you celebrate because you understand, right. Like that is, he is at the natural course
yep.
toward the end of his life to where if he passes away, then you say, yes, that feels like it fits
yeah.
within the way time works.
Life ran its course.
Yes.
And he had a great life from what I understand. And,
yeah.
you know, he has a great family. I know they're close. And it would feel right. And this isn't about Bobby Bowden, but to bring it back to Kobe Bryant, when I heard that, it's like, no. That's not right.
41 is, it's too early.
Yeah.
It's too early for anybody.
Doesn't make sense. Yeah, that one didn't register, doesn't sit right with me. And I'm pretty upset about it for a guy that wasn't, like you said, necessarily a Kobe Bryant fan. I always loved watching him play, but, you know, I'm going to miss the Mamba mentality.
Yeah.
And that guy was an ultra competitor. How about this? Here's a memory. As I'm just sitting here thinking, because it's all, what, an hour old for me?
Yeah, not long.
I just found out. How about when Matt Barnes of the Orlando Magic?
Yeah, the pump fake.
Yes. I mean, for those of you that don't remember it, I'm sure it'll pop up somewhere.
I already saw it on Twitter once today, yeah.
Did you? Yeah. The guy was so locked in from a mental aspect in basketball that he's covering an inbound pass, and Matt Barnes, not a thug, but Matt Barnes was kind of a guy that would scrap with
tough
you.
Tough guy
in the
he
NBA.
He ended up coming out, though, and saying that wasn't what it looked like. Like he didn't
all
actually.
He said is, no. He said it was more
it was
than
the angle
that
yeah,
it looked
the
like.
Angles.
But he Matt Barnes pump fakes the ball as a chest pass straight to Kobe's face, and Kobe didn't flinch.
Yep.
Not even like a little bit. He's just chomping his gum as Kobe did and stared him right in the eye like, you will not intimidate me. And you couldn't intimidate him.
Well, it's certainly sad news. It's not ever anything we want to really talk about, but it's something that we felt only was appropriate to at least touch on because it is certainly some of the major news of the time. And there's no really good transition out of that as far as we do things. If this was radio, we'd go to break.
Yeah.
And we'd come back and let 6 minutes of commercials kind of percolate in between. But, you know, we do have a regular show, and we're going to
give me
roll,
to something happy,
roll into
though,
that.
It is,
yeah.
It's heavy on my
yeah.
mind and on, you know,
certainly,
my
certainly. Well, it is Super Bowl week, and
we are
a week from today, as we are recording this on a Sunday, we will be talking about, or we will be watching Super Bowl. What are we, what is this, 54? Is that right? 53?
No, I think it's 54.
Whatever it is. I mean, it's not being – the last one I really knew was 50, right, because the big L, and it was
yep.
like, oh, this is noticeable. And then that's something that people have gone on rants about a lot this year. It's like, why are we still doing the Roman numerals? But it is Super Bowl week, and we got finally some time to think about this matchup, which is a fun matchup. It's different. It's fresh. It's exciting.
It is 54. Confirmed.
54. Okay, so I was right the first try. We've got two teams that haven't won a Super Bowl in a long time. I mean, the Chiefs haven't even been to one in forever. The Niners obviously were in one more recently. 2013 came up just short
yep.
on the incomplete pass of the goal line right on that final drive of the game. But they haven't won one since the 90s. So one of these fan bases is going to get it. There's no Patriots aspect to this, right? No one's going to sit there and say, oh, they won again.
Again, yeah.
Right. And maybe some long time fan of like the Raiders is going to sit there and say, I can't believe the Niners won again if they win on Sunday. But most people are going to sit at look at this weekend's matchup and say, this is pretty new, this is pretty fresh, this is pretty exciting. So
yep.
We wanted to have a little fun with it. Obviously, everybody's going to be previewing it, but we want to get a little bit into the what this looks like on paper, but not too deep. We're going to give one key to each team that should be a good sign of if things are going well, and then one moment that might, if you're a fan of each team, have you feeling a little nervous. And then we're going to get into some fun prop action, because what is the Super Bowl without the ridiculousness and extensive prop bets that are out there?
Gotta love them. They're so fun to think about because they are pretty thought-provoking, you know?
Yeah.
There's stuff you don't think about until you read it, and you're like, huh, I wonder what color the Gatorade will be.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that.
The Gatorade bath, huh? You know, like, I'm tempted to bet on the coin flip just because the thrill of, like, I'm going to be locked in to see if it's heads or tails.
Yeah, and you might as well start hot, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a big one. I mean, you can even start with the national anthem time and go even before that.
It could set the tone for the whole day, the whole game. And I literally am thinking about it. I told Ashley that. She's like, do not bet on that. I'm like, it's 50-50.
It is.
That's a pretty good
odds.
Yeah,
really good odds.
I like it. So there's some fun ones out there. I mean, I just read one a minute ago that I think I'm going to jump all over personally. Will there be a two-point conversion attempt in the game? And the plus odds are for yes.
Really?
Meaning Vegas thinks there won't.
Okay.
I think in the Super Bowl, guys go balls to the wall. You know, we're going to go try and...
Is there a two-point conversion you can remember recently? I mean, there's nothing that jumps off the page to me.
I mean, maybe that's why. They obviously put some historical data into the odds there.
Two-point conversion, you figure that there's one of two situations. It's either a close game in which, like, somebody kicked the field goal,
yep,
a couple of field goals, and they got to try and knot it up. Or it's one of those situations where a team's trying to erase a deficit late, and it's like, okay, we got to go for two at some point, and then you'll see it that way. But I would say the odds are probably about, it's probably feels like maybe 50-1 that there's going to be one. I mean, what do they list them as?
It was 160 plus 160 for yes. So
that'd be one I'd be willing to throw a couple bucks on, because you'd have the chance to win some money.
You throw $100.
I mean,
win
if you're if you're sitting here dropping a huge change on prop bets, I mean, prop bets are like the penny slots of.
No, I don't do it.
You're sitting there, you should throw maybe 20 tops.
So
it feels
what
like.
Frustrates me is what I use, my site does not have them loaded up yet, aside from the coin flip.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm waiting until I can kind of, you know, diversify and take a couple different prop bets, because I'm definitely going to. The thing about the Super Bowl, it's kind of like you have to bet on it.
Mm-hmm.
You could bet on any game all year, but you don't have the opportunity to do these fun little things all year.
Yeah.
So they get you. They reel you in. You're like, you know what? So what? Win or lose, you never get to do it. It's a Super Bowl. You got to do it.
Yeah, everybody but me.
Everyone but Scott. Scott is employed by the NCAA and will not partake.
Yes. Got the email this week, in fact.
Did you?
Yep, just to remind us from our compliance officer about betting on the Super Bowl is illegal
because
it is a sport sponsored by the NCAA.
Since I am allowed to do it, as far as I know.
Yeah, let me live vicariously through you here, okay?
I have a couple questions for you. One, let me solicit all of our listeners. If you are a listener and have any sort of Super Bowl squares, I don't feel like setting it up, please message me, text me, do what you got to do. I would love to.
Call to action.
That's right. I need to hear from you. If your work does it, get me in on it. I love the Super Bowl squares. It's
a lot of fun. Rocket Mortgage has one.
Holy cow, Scott.
Yeah, I had a hard time getting that. I was also finishing a sip of beer while I started that
sentence.
Which,
so Rocket Mortgage has a Super Bowl square. How do I get
Yeah, they're giving out go to like rocketmortgage.com, I guess, or something. I don't know.
What are they going to try and?
Barry Sanders promoted it on his interview on PMT last week. I've seen the commercial a couple of times.
I didn't know that was for the squares.
But they're giving away money every change in score. So, you know how like the squares game normally works. It's like you pick one, and it's like is the final ends
up
to that. That's
it. Final
has
to.
They're trying to make these a little bit bigger than normal.
My work used to do it, and it was a blast. We had a great time.
Yeah, I mean, I did it back in the back when I was younger, back before I was an employee anywhere. I remember going to the 2001 Super Bowl. I think I picked the Patriots, and I think I got the score right.
Were you betting your parents' money?
It was just like a family thing. We did it. We went to my grandparents' with your family. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. Like we went to my grandparents and like watched it with like a group of family, and like we played the squares game amongst each other. And I don't know if I won an extra cookie that night or something like that. Whatever grandma was giving me at the conclusion.
I never win that kind of stuff. So
I have very, very little success.
But for some reason, I can't do it. And you know, just being the mathematicians that we are, think about it. If I win one, if it's like a $10 buy-in, should pretty much wipe out all my past 10 years, for example, of losses. So it's just, you know, profit and loss.
All right, so you said your site doesn't have any Super Bowl prop bets up yet, but let's just take a look at there's got to be some listed around here somewhere. Okay, so I got a list here of some best ones, and let's see if any of these attract your attention. So you already brought up the 2-point conversion one.
Yep, and I like that one.
Yeah, okay. Will Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes throw an interception? Would you lean yes or no? I've got the line right now, yes, plus 110, no, minus 130. So they think he will not do it.
You know, he's really good about not turning the ball over. So all that being said, the D-line of the San Francisco 49ers, I love. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, how long have we been recording? 10, 15 minutes now? And we haven't
like
said
20.
We're a 49ers podcast.
Yeah,
right?
We are a Niners podcast.
I meant to start with that.
Right, right, right.
So this is the week we really need to pump that in. Because maybe next year we're not 49ers podcast anymore.
Oh, probably not. Yeah. I mean, we'll have to find another team, probably. I mean, that's how it works.
Usually. So backtracking, yes, to answer your question, I actually do think he'll throw a pick.
Okay.
You know, it's a big stage. I'm not saying he'll be nervous, but they have a really good defense. Why not? They'll go snag one.
Okay, here we go. The Capitals play in game next Sunday, and they play against the Penguins.
Okay.
Here's the bet. Alex Ovechkin.
Caps are good this year.
Shots on goal, -1.5. Okay, so this must be like 1.5 shots on goal with the over.
Okay.
Just
for
no, no, they're giving him the -1.5, so he's at -170. They're giving him the advantage over Patrick Mahomes' touchdown passes. So who's going to have more shots on goal for Alex Ovechkin or touchdown passes in the game for Patrick Mahomes next Sunday?
Whoa, this is why it's
so
fun.
This is good. Yeah. So the Capital Star more than 4.5 shots per game this season.
That's him.
He's averaging more than 4.5 shots per game this season. He's averaged more than 5 shots in his career against Pittsburgh. But they are third best at even strength and suppressing shots.
No, I'm going Ovechkin.
Okay, you're going Ovechkin there.
Shots on goal. Yeah.
Yeah, Mahomes has multiple touchdown throws in 9 of his 16 games this year, including the playoffs. Will either team score in the first 6.5 minutes of the game?
Yeah. I think... No, I changed. No. Where are you on that? 6.5 minutes, I think they both come out and kind of exchange blows, and we ease into the game.
Yeah, I'm inclined to agree with you on that.
6 minutes, I mean, if the 49ers get the ball first, they might run the ball for 7 minutes before they score.
Will either team score in the final 3.5 minutes of the game?
Yeah, I'm going to go yes there.
I'm going to go yes.
Yeah, someone's going to be chasing.
So this prop has hit in 5 straight Super Bowls and in 21 of the past 26.
All right, let me write
last
that
last time
down.
It didn't hit was Super Bowl 38. Or excuse me, that is Super Bowl 43. I'm a little off on my Roman numerals there.
So about 10
so that
years
was
ago.
How about this?
Here, 10 years ago what it would have been
2013. This was this is 48.
Okay, what are the teams?
It was the Seahawks-Broncos game, so it was the last true blowout.
That's the game I was going to say, because the Broncos couldn't score, and the Seahawks just ran the ball out. That was the boringest game.
Yeah. Will the 49ers convert their first third down attempt?
I have to interrupt you. Seahawks-Broncos, here's my memory of that game. My buddy.
The safety? That was the last time the game was interesting.
To open the game. So my buddy, Steve, who you know, and Steve does listen to this podcast. Steve, I'm going to call you out
Steve.
Here. I gotta give you a little hell. So Steve was living in the apartment next door to me at the time. We had 3 straight apartments of all friends. So we had 9.
Oh yeah, good times.
9 of us.
I stayed in those.
Old no quarters, man. It was a blast. So anyway, Steve's in his John Elway split colored jersey. One side's the old powder blue. One side's like the new blue.
Big Broncos guy.
Got his Broncos hat on. He's
big
all excited.
Broncos
He's
guy.
Drinking early in the day. Fired up for it. And
the game was over in 5 seconds.
But what's even better is Steve was like just, you know, partying for the game, getting ready, as most people would. Fair enough, he was a college kid. But we're grilling out, we're watching, and then the game comes on, and at halftime, we're like, where'd Steve go? And we walk over to our other buddy's apartment, and he's just laying face down on the couch, passed out. He just fell asleep. We're like,
Well,
yeah.
He didn't miss much.
Huge Broncos fan, huh? Couldn't even watch him. I mean, he didn't miss anything, but you get the picture.
All right, here we go. Will the 49ers convert their first third down attempt?
Yeah, I like that.
Okay.
I like that a lot. What are the odds on that? I'm going to write these
yes,
down.
Plus 130.
Wow.
No, minus 150. Chiefs allowed opponents to convert 10 of 21 third down attempts, 47.6% on the first defensive possession of the game during the regular season. Two of three times on the first possession of the playoffs. Huh. What will happen first, 49ers score or 49ers punt?
I'm inclined to say 49ers punt.
They scored before it punted in 11 of 18 games this season, including 3 of 4 entering the Super Bowl.
But the
49ers
Chiefs have 2 weeks
plus
to per-
110. 49ers punt.
Here's the difference. The Chiefs know the 49ers are going to be running the football.
Mm-hmm.
So at least on the first couple drives, while everyone's still jittery, I think they're going to be going all out to stop the run, and I think they're going to have to punt. I don't think that's that crazy.
Here's
logic
one
there.
Last juicy one.
Okay.
Points by both teams, so this is combined, in the highest scoring quarter. Does it add up to over 21 or under 21?
Read it again. Points?
So points by both teams. So the two teams in the highest scoring quarter of the game, the two teams' point total combined add up to over 21 or under 21?
I'd say under.
Under 21 at minus 140, over 21 at plus 120.
Yeah, I'd say under. I think this is a game of ball control and fireworks from the Chiefs side.
Of the 144 quarters played by the teams this season, only 14 went over 21 total points, 8 by the Chiefs, 6 by the 49ers, while 9 landed exactly on 21. How about that?
You know what I'm excited for? The prop bet to come out for MVP tallies.
MVP,
and I know that's out on a couple different books, but MVP is interesting this year. I mean, it's not going to be
Ryan Mostert.
It's not going to be Mahomes. It's not going to be, Mozart.
Yeah, his odds probably went up significantly this week.
Yeah. But he's still plus odds, I guarantee you.
Yeah.
Picture the odds you could get on like a Joey Bosa, like a defensive lineman.
No doubt. Nick Bosa.
Nick Bosa,
Joey's sitting in L.A. somewhere watching this.
Yeah.
Or maybe he's going to the actually, he'll probably be in a suite at the Super Bowl. I'd imagine his brother would hook him up.
Yeah.
A little family affair there, right?
Yeah, like the Mannings used to do.
Yeah, exactly. So that's just a little bit of the prop back action. Let's get into a little bit of the actual what this game looks like. Let's start with the Niners, since we are a Niners podcast.
That's right.
What do you think needs to happen to feel good if you're a Niners fan as far as this game shaking out?
I mean, it's what they've done all year. They have to be able to run the football because that will allow Garoppolo just to play the way he's played, where he doesn't need to make throws to win. He just needs to complete the passes when they do call a passing play.
Yep.
So I think that one's pretty basic and obvious, but it has to happen. I think that's the only way the 49ers offense will continue to roll the way it has. The good news is for them, or for us.
Exactly.
I have to stick to it. We're almost
the shtick is almost done.
We're
so
almost done with it. Exactly.
We gotta run with it.
The clock's almost midnight here for us Cinderellis. But Kyle Shanahan does such a good job at creating different ways for their running backs, all their running backs, all three of them, to get in space and make plays. So I think that's the key there. I mean, just making sure all three of them have the opportunities to get positive yards and not put the pressure on Garoppolo.
I know they're going to focus on the run, and I know that's huge. But I feel like this game needs almost like the Titans script to it in the playoffs, where they need one to maybe two big-time Garoppolo play-action passes on those first couple drives, just so he can kind of prove to himself and maybe even Kyle Shanahan that when this game comes down to it, because I think it is going to come down to it, where he's got to make a throw, he's able to do it. And just the ability to gain some confidence in the early going when all the pressure is not on is going to be imperative, I think, for this 49ers team. I mean, the running game is going to be big because he can't throw 50 times
right.
But if he can take advantage of those downfield passes or those mid-level passes to Greg George Kittle and hit those, then that's going to go a long way toward kind of showing the Chiefs that this can be a multi-dimensional offense, because I think Chiefs, as everybody should, are going to be looking at this and saying, we have to commit to shutting down the run.
Well, do you think to that point, do you think they might come out, they being the 49ers,
and throw a little bit?
Come out and throw?
I don't think they're going to come out and, like, throw.
I'm
but
not
I
saying
think
downfield bombs.
Right. I think he's going to throw a couple of times on that first possession. Yeah. It wouldn't shock me one bit.
Yeah. It'd be fun. I think that's a good move, you know, catch them off guard, because they're going to be loading the box, and their defense, aside from Tyrann Mathieu, isn't loaded with playmakers, you know. They Scott, what are you flicking off the TV over
yeah,
here?
Yeah, Marcus Zagorowski hitting a 90-footer. I mean, absolutely ridiculous.
I'm talking to Scott, and he just throws the bird at the TV. What is this guy doing?
Well, we got a guy in a tutu and no shirt here in Omaha, Nebraska. Goodness gracious.
We were watching, and he has a weird tattoo on his left arm.
Yeah, this is strange. All right, sorry. That's an aside.
Well, we're watching.
Xavier Creighton we're watching right now on this Sunday afternoon, and I'm trying to stay locked in while I'm also frustrated at the performance of the Musketeers on the road right now.
And why is everyone in pink? It's not Breast Cancer Awareness
Month. It's Coaches vs. Cancer Week.
Gotcha, okay.
Which I now have a decision to make, because JU goes 2-0 on Coaches vs. Cancer Week. Do I stick with the tennis shoes with my suit?
I don't think you're the one giving them luck. So
okay, so I can go back to the dress shoes.
Yeah, you can go back with dress shoes. But you know what? Comfort.
I tell you what, it was great.
Go for it.
I felt super comfortable over these two games this week.
Do it,
and
then if someone calls you out, you can say, hey,
listen, man, I'm just trying to help the team win.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to do my part to help this team win games.
Yeah, I like that.
Okay, for the let's flip over to the Kansas City Chiefs. What do they have to do you think, to establish?
Well, I think everyone's going to tell you they have to stop the run. We know that, okay? But what they need to do is protect Mahomes. Let's talk offense, because that's their bread and butter. If it goes to a shootout, guess who's winning that game? The Chiefs.
Kansas City Chiefs, yeah.
That's right. So what they need to do is focus on what they do best. Don't overanalyze the fact. I mean, they had two weeks to do it as far as come up with a game plan to stop the 49ers rushing attack. But they really need to focus on how can we fine-tune our offense to where we don't come out slow like we have the past 2 weeks against the Titans and the Texans. We need to hit on all cylinders for all four quarters, because this team, if you fall behind, they can control the clock, and their defense is good enough to pin their ears back and come after you. They have to protect Pat Mahomes. And their O-line, truthfully, hasn't been amazing. You know, the Texans were able to get a little pressure on them early, and Mahomes is crafty as a runner, but he's not a runner. Does that make sense?
Right, he's
good scrambling around and bouncing
now,
around.
Now, he had that great run last week.
Well, that was, yeah.
Which was kind of a unique one. But
I felt like I could have closed on him and at least got a hit on his legs on that run. It just looked so unathletic.
Well, remember, the guy dislocated his kneecap like 2 months ago.
No,
it's pretty incredible.
And he's a great athlete. Yeah, yeah. He's a stud baseball player, too. Yeah. He didn't expect to be that free, so I think every opportunity he had, when there was another Texans defender near him, he was like, oh, he didn't get me? Oh, I guess I'll keep going.
I think I might have had a run like that, been a pickup game in the neighborhood back in the day where I was just tiptoeing the sideline. It's like, I might get free.
Yeah.
I'm in. I'm inclined to agree with you. I don't think that this is the game for the Chiefs to start off slow again. I don't think that's going to work out as well, because this 49ers bunch is significantly better than that Titans bunch was, and much and better than that Texans bunch was too. So the my thing for the Chiefs as far as this working out, I think they got to force some turnovers.
Yeah.
The ball control offense of the 49ers, if you're going to wear out. Like, they're going to wear out the Chiefs' defense at some point if they're doing what they want to do. But how do you get a team off the field? It's a lot of times really hard to just lock down and shut a team down that's pretty proficient offensively in what they do in three plays or six plays or whatever. But the turnover is the great equalizer. You don't have to have a great defense if you're able to force turnovers, because, boom, you're right back on offense. So if they can get a little handsy, strip the football, maybe pick off Jimmy G, and then the quick change. I love the Chiefs in a situation like that, because I think they'll be aggressive on offense, and they'll make the Niners pay.
You know, and I like Andy Reid. There's a lot, you know, as much as I am a 49ers guy these days, a lot of me kind of wants to see him finally get the ring.
Oh, I honestly, all jokes aside, either team wins this game, and as long as it's good, I'm not going to have any problems. I like both teams. Yeah. I have nothing against any of the players on either of these teams or the coaches or anything like that.
No, I think it's going to be a great game. I really do. It's such a clash of styles. We have your old school, we play defense, we run the football, and our quarterback's good, but he manages the game good. You know, he's not your – He's not your Drew Brees where he's just slinging it all over the field. And then you have your new age offense that just throws, athletes all over the field, speed all over the field, not necessarily size all over the field. And that's a lot of fun to watch these two teams go at it. So that leads me to my question. I have two questions for you.
Yep.
One, who do you want to win? And two, who do you think will win? And you don't have to say the 49ers. We can stick our garnet and gold or whatever colors they think they are.
I'd like to see the Chiefs win because of that Andy Reid thing. But I'd also like to see Kyle Shanahan get over the whole 28-3 nonsense too. Yeah. So,
but he was the OC there. That's a little different.
Yeah, yeah. But a lot of people have been talking about it.
I know. And it's like, but that's just because
really
it's
getting
Super
into
Bowl
this
story.
Much. Yeah, you gotta drag out the storylines. But I think, like I said, I'm not going to be upset as long as this game's good with either team winning. So you
want the Chiefs?
I probably lean toward the Chiefs a little bit more, and I do think the Chiefs win this game.
Do you?
Yeah.
Scott, very fun because I'm the complete opposite. Mm-hmm. I have the 49ers winning, and I want the 49ers to win. I love that old school style of football. I really enjoy it. I have no issue with the Chiefs if they win, so be it. I personally hate Tyreek Hill.
True, I will join you on that. I think he is a bad human being.
And it's gonna. I mean, I can say this on record confidently. He'll burn in hell one day, and I think that's okay to say. I don't feel bad saying it. But
I don't think you're going to find a whole lot of Tyreek Hill fans in the Venn overlapping the Venn diagram of people that listen to this podcast.
Pretty bad guy. Beat his pregnant girlfriend and broke his kid's arm. So we're going to just go ahead and leave it at that. Not a good dude.
Quote unquote alleged, but I don't think that shit gets made up.
No.
Yeah.
And his kid's scared to see him at all times. So go ahead. That's a sad situation.
Definitely something going on.
Right.
But anyway, you like the Niners.
Personally, really like Mahomes. Really like Mecole Hardman from Georgia.
Uh-huh.
Kelce, I've never liked him. Something about him.
He's a University of Cincinnati guy, so that I hold that against him. And he is, I love his game. I just don't like his personality per se. It's very in your face. The game he got ejected against the Jags a couple years ago for his temper tantrum in the end zone where he threw his gloves and everything.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, this guy's a little bit much. And it's so funny because his brother Jason could not be more different.
They're opposites.
They are complete. Jason is such a like blue collar grit
burly
guy. And Travis is all glitz and glam.
Big beard. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
started his career as a quarterback, by the way. Did you know that?
Travis Kelce did.
Played quarterback in college.
When did he switch over to tight end?
In college.
I know, like year-wise.
I think it was later on in his career when he wasn't really seeing the field as a quarterback.
Wow.
Because they had a stretch at Cincinnati where they had some pretty good QBs.
Did he play as in like starting?
Yeah. He was starting by the end of his
career.
Good
for him. Yeah. Who they used to have? Pike?
Was that Tony QB? Pike, Zach Caleros. They had some pretty good guys there for a while.
They had an LSU transfer at one point, too. Was Mallett there for a second?
No, he went
to Arkansas.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
They had Ben Mock, the former Wake Forest quarterback, before Tony Pike.
They did, number eight.
Yeah, he was a record setter.
So to go back to the question, I do this often, get us off track, but I want the 49ers, and I also am rooting for the 49ers. I mean, I want and I also think they're going to win. Reason being, their defensive line is the difference. I've talked about them 100 times on this podcast, and I'm sticking with it. That D-line means something, and I don't think Mahomes is going to quite have enough time to sling the ball downfield like he has been. The difference is he's pretty good when he's out of the pocket still, keeping his eyes downfield and making something happen. So the DBs need to stay with the play until the very end because the pressure that will possibly roll him out, he'll still be able to throw the ball like no other QB as far as just he can gun it downfield still and not just have to hit a little safety outlet pass because his arm talent. They also don't have a running game. So I think that's really going to factor into it because Damian Williams is fine at running back, but he is not a game changer, especially in a Super Bowl, especially against a defense like the 49ers. And then the flip side, I think the threesome of Mozart, Tevin Coleman, and Matt Breida are just going to continue to succeed in the running attack for the San Francisco 49ers. And then, like you mentioned, Greg Kittle. You like that?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's George Kittle, for those of you that don't know inside joke.
Yeah, Greg George.
Yeah, but everyone says he looks like a Greg, and that kind of has started to...
Yeah. It started to catch on.
Yeah, it really
I'm even questioning it now when I say it.
Yeah, I'm like, wait, which one is it? So Kittle's an absolute monster at tight end. I think you're going to see him get involved this week also. So the key is getting a receiver involved, because they all expect the ball if it's going on a dropback pass to Kittle.
Yeah. What is the one thing for the Niners that would have you worried if, like, here we are midway through the first and this thing is happening?
If I start seeing interior push, because on the edges, I think they have the speed and athleticism as a defense, the Chiefs, to be able to defend stretch plays. I don't think you're going to beat them like that. You're going to have to get those inside the tackle runs going as a 49ers offense. Derek Nnadi, former Knoll, let's go.
Yeah.
Former Knoll at nose tackle, plays D tackle, a little bit of zero technique, a little bit of three technique for the, and everything in between. For the Chiefs, I think him and Chris Jones are the X factors for the Chiefs.
Yeah, Chris Jones just coming back last week in the championship game.
But then he gets 2 extra weeks to get
totally healthy. It was clearly evident that his presence was helping. But then, yeah, him getting a chance to get even more healthy will go a long way as well.
If you see the guards and centers for the 49ers get pushed back, that's something to watch on the first couple drives. The D-line always fires off the ball. So be looking for it as the first quarter wears down, maybe the third, fourth possession. If those D-tackles are getting a push and guys have to bounce runs outside earlier than they'd like to, or when it wasn't designed to go outside, of course, a good running back might make a play of that here or there, but if it's consistent enough, the Chiefs are going to be very happy with that.
Since I think the Chiefs are going to win, I'll pick my, this is not a doomsday scenario, but my, I'd be slightly concerned issue if this happens, I guess. And here's a crazy one, kind of off the board maybe.
Okay.
Remember the last Super Bowl in Miami?
Was that the Bears-Colts?
It was. Oh. Remember what happened weather-wise in that game?
Pissed rain.
You remember how ugly that game was?
Yeah, it was awful. Devin Hester took the opening kickoff. Yeah. Peyton Manning ends up raising the Lombardi Trophy, and I don't remember another play of the game.
And he wasn't very good either in that game. No. It was just enough.
Yep.
And Rex Grossman's tiny hands couldn't grab the ball from under center
without
fumbling it.
Rex Grossman. God, he started in a Super Bowl.
Here is my slight concern, and I could be overblowing this, but if I'm a Chiefs fan going in, and this is entirely possible, if it is pouring down rain on Sunday in Miami, which is not out of the realm of possibility because it is Miami and it is a tropical climate, I'm slightly concerned with my passing attack and the Kansas City Chiefs. And it is that last game got down and dirty and it got ugly, and the Colts actually ran the ball pretty darn well with Joe Adai and
that's right, Joseph
the other
Adai.
Guy? Dominic something or other.
Blaylock maybe?
Yes. Can't remember.
Number 33.
33, yeah. Can't remember his last name. But
God,
but they actually ran the ball pretty well in that game, and I think they just gave the MVP to Peyton because he's Peyton. It was like a lifetime achievement award. But it was
that's like you said about Kobe earlier. That's what
exactly. It was kind of like that finals MVP. But this is a situation which, like you just said it, he just traveled and they didn't call it. Thank cool. Cool. Switched his pivot foot, no call. This is a situation which, obviously the running game is complementary for the Chiefs, but what they do first and foremost is the fact that they are able to effectively throw the ball and air it out. And I think they would rather take cold over wet and rainy. And so if it is raining on Sunday in Miami, that would have me, as a Chiefs fan, just feeling slightly like, I don't feel as good.
So as it stands today, we're exactly a week out, almost exactly a week out to the time. I mean, it's 4:45 right now. We're almost exactly a week out from this. It says right now, the Weather Channel app, 72 degrees, 10% chance
of
rain.
So that could be a good sign for the Chiefs. Of course,
yeah,
those things are only accurate about 3 days out, so we'll see if it changes. But
hey, well, you need to warm up your, since I know you're rooting for the Chiefs now, warm up your Florida State Seminole chop for them then.
Okay, so let's go ahead and switch gears. We'll, of course, be talking all about this game after the fact when the game is final and we convene next Monday night to discuss this game and hopefully a good one to look back upon. But it is time now, Alex Turco, for the Ice Mule Coolers Cold as Ice segment.
You're as cold as ice.
Who needs to be put on ice? Gator fans calling from Mike White's head.
Oh.
The Gator basketball head coach, the trendiest thing of the season here, locally in college basketball. It is not Florida State and their epic run and ascension to the top five for the first time since 1972. It is not the North Florida Ospreys beating Liberty the other night at home in order to topple the Flames and deal them their first loss in ASUN conference play of the year. It's not even the fact that Jacksonville University is celebrating its 50th anniversary of the NCAA Final Four and national title runner-up year.
I'm glad you got that in there.
I did. It is a good plug, right? No, it's the fact that every time Florida loses a basketball game, dudes come out of the woodwork and they want Mike White's head. And guess what? Here's what I have to say to that. Let the guy coach a game. Like, shouldn't we be judged by a body of work and not by, and I know we're in a reactionary society these days with social media, everything's instantaneous, we can fire off thoughts as soon as we have them, more than we've ever been able to do so before. But literally a week ago today, people were sitting there talking about how Florida's found it again. And, you know, they just rattled off a couple of big wins, including knocking off a top five team in Auburn last Saturday. And they had found their mojo. And then they lose to LSU in a close one in which they rally late and can't overcome the deficit on the road. And then lose at home, God forbid, to the number one team in the country, the Baylor Bears. Granted, Vegas had Florida as a favorite, by the way.
I still can't figure that out.
Can't figure it out because they don't believe in Baylor, I guess. But
they're the number one team in the country. Florida's unranked, and they're the favorite.
But this all starts because Florida is – this all starts because of something that's entirely out of Mike White's control, and that is preseason polls. He's not on an AP voter saying that his team should be preseason top 10. Yet some guys are looking at sheer recruiting rankings and saying, yeah, that's the way it should be. Florida's lineup coming into this year was Kerry Blackshear and a whole bunch of unproven guys. A lot of roster turnover over the last couple of years.
But you do have to base at some point the talent off the recruiting rankings because they're going to get the guys
And this year is an aberration because guess what? We've all fallen in love with the hotshot freshmen, but there are not hotshot freshmen in college basketball this year. There's no Zion Williamson.
No.
There's no Carl Anthony Towns. There's no John Wall. There's no Markel Fultz. These guys are Ben Simmons. These guys aren't in there this year. There's some nice players, but there aren't dominant freshmen that are carrying teams.
Yeah.
And that I feel like everyone has expected that out of Florida this year.
So I'm going to take another angle on that. The Gators have been making tournaments, okay? I feel like Mike White's a pretty good coach, but they have higher standards now that Billy Donovan set. Remember, prior to Billy Donovan, they weren't a basketball school either.
No. I mean, Lon Kruger had done some nice things.
Yeah, but they weren't – I mean, they never broke through. They never were – Sweet 16 darlings.
They had a Final Four under Kruger.
But
I mean, at a
stretch like Donovan was doing is my point. So think of how high he raised the bar before he left. And now Mike White comes in, and he does succeed on the recruiting trail. He does get guys because the name Florida basketball means something to kids these days. They have guys in the NBA, Bradley Beal, Joakim Noah. I mean, not necessarily right now, but those were names. Corey Brewer was a big name. What do you got there?
1994, Lon Kruger led Florida to its first ever Final Four appearance. So I was correct on that. Here's my counter to you on that one.
All I'm saying before you say that is they haven't broken through. What have they done? They had that one year where they made a run in the tournament.
They made the Sweet 16.
Yep.
And did a nice job kind of putting things together. But guess what? Billy Donovan didn't leave a Porsche behind.
No.
That team wasn't exactly the national championship back-to-back squad. They had made that Final Four run a couple of years prior, though that was in a wacky tournament which, I mean, they beat Dayton in the Elite Eight. I mean, that was the year that Kentucky was at 8 seed and went to the final and lost to Ryan Boatwright in UConn, and the head coach of UConn, Kevin Ollie, is out of a job already. So that was a bizarre NCAA tournament. And this is a situation in which that first year, I mean, they were borderline NCAA NIT team when Billy Donovan leaves.
Yep.
They go to an NIT right after that. I mean, they've got this weird mix of talented players that never panned out and young guys. And White, I feel like, is still kind of putting his stamp on the program. And granted, he may not be the answer long term, but for the people that are sitting there spoiled thinking that Florida should be a perennial national championship contender, like, that's just not necessarily the case, not necessarily realistic. And this team is very much still in the conversation for an NCAA berth. And
who knows what they can do in the SEC tournament? They just knocked off.
This year is wide open. Yeah. Like, there are no dominant teams in college basketball this year. So Florida gets in. All you got to do is get in this year, and you could probably do anything. So I sit here and I say, listen, this is a big week for Florida, or a big 2 weeks. They got a four-game stretch: Ole Miss, Mississippi State, Vandy, and Georgia, in which those are teams that
easy wins should be.
You could go 4-0. You might go 3-1,
and that's okay.
Mississippi State is the best out of that bunch because they're a bubble team too. But
yep.
For those that are sitting there again last night, and it feels like my entire Twitter timeline last night was Florida basketball fans arguing back and forth.
So let me cut you off though. Would you at least be skeptical? Can you understand? Not necessarily be, you know, calling for his head, but would you be a little nervous or skeptical that maybe he's not the guy?
Depends on what your definition of the guy is. I think you ran into something that was very unique with Billy Donovan. And by the way, you know, it's Billy Donovan had two of the greatest teams in the history of college basketball, won back-to-back national titles,
yep.
Went to another Final Four, went to another championship game. But Billy Donovan had years in which, you know, they're getting bounced on the second round.
Yeah.
Like, he
yeah.
had Bradley Beal, and they couldn't get out of the first weekend. So this isn't like Billy Donovan was a Elite Eight team coach every
so
single year.
So answer the question.
So, no, I'm sitting here saying if my definition for Florida, and this is what I think Florida fans should be, you should be in the tournament every year.
I agree with that.
I think that's respectable.
I agree with that.
And then anything after that is gravy. I mean, if you're sitting here as someone who can – you know, have an opportunity in the NCAA tournament, then I feel like you're going to be fine. And that's all you should be asking for in college basketball anyway. If you're in the dance, anything can happen at that point. And Florida should be in the top half of the SEC conversation, which they are every year, and they should be an NCAA-caliber team every year, which they seemingly are every year. So that's why
lately, under Mike White, don't get good until the
Yeah, they come together late. They come together late. But
it's
he has not –
How would you not be frustrated
about that?
You
but,
know?
But he's had no – he's had absolutely – no continuity when it comes to the players that he has worked with. He's really had to retool the roster over the last couple of years. And, yeah, I agree. I'd be a little bit frustrated if I was a Gator fan. But, I mean, this is – anytime you have a coaching change – I mean, heck, my alma mater went through a coaching change just last year, and Xavier is not playing up to, quote-unquote, Xavier standards, and people want to run Travis Steele off already, and he hasn't been a head coach for two whole years yet. I mean, let people – counter to the Willie Taggart era
I was
at Florida
say,
State, we should probably let guys have a couple of years to establish their program and then see what it happens. But that's why I want to put Gator fans that are calling for Mike White's head on ice, and that is our Cold as Ice segment brought to you by Ice Mule Coolers.
Ice Mule Coolers, don't forget to log on to their website, check out all the products they have, and use the promo code SPORTSBAR15. Get a little discount there with a hell of a product. Me and Scott both have matching coolers. Pretty cool. Pretty cool.
Yeah, they are.
Not a oxymoron there or a play on words. No pun intended. But we both have the Carolina Blue medium cooler, and it's
yeah. We're winning more with that cooler than Carolina.
Pretty damn
sharp.
Scott rolled up today with it, with a new beer that I'd never seen.
Yeah,
on
this
there.
Is from Redacted, future sponsor of the company, the podcast beer company. But it's very good.
Yeah, it's good.
I'm not giving any shout outs to any more beers.
Yeah,
until somebody sponsors.
Scott's
us, so.
Always shouting out.
No,
yeah.
no free sponsors.
Yeah,
right
we're tightening the reins on that now.
It is
able,
an IPA though. For those of you that know me, they know I'm a pale ale IPA guy.
It's because you're a bitter guy, and you know
I'm
who else
guy.
Is pretty bitter.
Pretty bitter.
Me. You know why?
Why are you bitter?
Because I'm the old man these days, and this will be a perfect lead-in to our Get Off My
Get
Lawn
off
segment.
His lawn. All right. What do you got here today?
So I have a perfect one, and I'm happy that I just am such an old man that these things come to me without even trying. You know, like this is just natural stuff for me because just cranky old bastard lately. But earlier, we're sitting here waiting on the Xavier game because Scott has to watch his Xavier basketball team play Creighton. I could give a hoot about. And we're watching a commercial. There's plenty of stuff we could flip to. We got golf on. We got you could have me watching Super Bowl specials on the NFL Network. And then, you know, I'd even flip over to the Pro Bowl. Let's see what's happening.
Nope.
Scott,
no,
won't
we're
lie.
An anti-Pro Bowl podcast.
Scott's at my house controlling the remote. But yeah, that's my get off my lawn segment. I hate commercials. Never watch them, especially during sporting events.
I agree.
I'm a three channel guy where I line them up to where if there's a commercial, I always have three options. And I guess even now, this just came to me too. A bigger get off my lawn moment is when all three of your flips.
Brutal.
And they're
brutal.
All at commercial. They sync them up like it's some scam.
It's like some sort of conspiracy,
it
right?
Really
I
is.
Mean, what do we? Where is it to where we're sitting here and we can't get any sporting
maybe that
event
led
on?
Me to my true get off my lawn segment.
We're just experiencing it literally as we speak. I went from the Xavier game, which went to halftime, to the Minnesota Michigan State game, which went to commercial right as I flipped to it, to now I'm at the Farmers Insurance Open, which is on commercial. So
yep,
I just don't get it. How do we end up in these situations?
See, so you're in it with me.
Yeah. I agree. It's frustrating, but to your first point, man, there's nothing worse than being over at somebody's house.
And they're just letting commercials ride.
To where they're letting commercials run. The cousin of that moment is when you go to the sports bar and they've got a bunch of TVs on non-sporting events. And it's like, okay, so perfect. The game ends. So the game, you know, you're watching, I was watching playoffs a couple weeks ago out at Hurricane Grill.
Yep.
And the game ends and the next game is on a different network. Well, the first thing they should be doing is firing off those TVs that are on 60 Minutes and sending those over to the other network, Fox.
Someone's got – you can't be
somebody's
asleep
be
at
on
the
top
wheel.
Of that. Somebody's got to be on top of that.
You can't instead, be asleep at the button.
Instead, we've got 20 TVs in this establishment on 60 Minutes and zero on a football
so
playoff
last
game.
Night, and I went up to Florida the ACC Network, unfortunately. That's a whole get-off-my-lawn segment itself.
I've got it now, by the way, so you can come over and watch it with me from
okay.
now on.
That actually is very, very, very good to know because I had to drive up to Hooters yesterday. I was like, you know what?
Hoot peas.
I was like, screw it. Florida State's number 5. I got to go see this game.
Yeah.
You know, they're never number 5. Notre Dame's okay. They could upset us just because we had a week off. Maybe we're rusty, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, long story short, I roll up to Hooters, and they have Florida State on one of the TVs. I'm in that side room.
Yep.
Every other TV is on just random channels, whether it's an infomercial, which was one of them.
Yep.
Another channel was ESPNU. They probably had something on there earlier and left it, so it was the sports bet thing. Okay, yep. I get that. But the Gators are playing number one Baylor in a Gator town, and they didn't have it on any of the TVs. And
shocks me.
They didn't have it on any of them in there. They had them by the bar, but I wasn't by the bar.
Yeah.
That's and then they had New Mexico State versus, like,
Nevada.
Nevada,
Yeah, I was watching a little of that. It was New Mexico, Nevada. Yeah. I flipped on that for about 5 minutes at one point yesterday on my ride home. But
I made them change that.
That's okay. It wasn't a great game.
That was the one where I was like, yeah, you can put it on that TV right there. I don't even want to see that game.
Well, that is get off our lawn.
Well,
and with
Tigers,
that,
Tiger's looking old, man. That guy's tired.
It's a long week out on the course.
Tired Tiger.
With that, that is our show. And we'll be back, of course, next week. We'll be talking Super Bowl and everything that happened with it. And
go Niners.
Yeah, go Niners for Alex. And, of course, I'll be pulling slightly for the Chiefs. But, again, I don't really care who wins. I just hope it's a good game. I know that makes me sound kind of silly, but that's the way I'm looking at it. But thank you, as always, to Ice Mule Coolers, our sponsor for the Cold as Ice segment. And for all of those subject matters that we had to talk about today. Of course, a sad day in the world of sports with the passing of Kobe Bryant, but we'll have plenty more to talk about in the future, and I just hope that you all find a way to sit there and, you know, find a way to reminisce, celebrate his memory, focus on the positives, because that's the best thing, I think, that can be done whenever death deals us a tragic blow. But for Alex Turco, I'm Scott Manzi, saying so long from another episode of the Sports Bar Podcast.